Check.
Welcome back, Mic Check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Two Man Wolf Pack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis, and dialing in from Chicago, my good friend.
Brian,
today is Monday, January 16th. It really feels like a Tuesday for some reason, but Monday, January 16th, 2017. It's been 13 days since our last podcast. The Wolves were 3-3 over the 13-day stretch, including two pretty nice wins and a three-game win streak in there as well, bringing our overall record to 14-27. We are 20 and a half games back of the Warriors for the one seed, but still only three games back of the now Blazers for the eighth seed in the West. Brian, how you been? Been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been too long. I've been good. I'm on a big health kick. In the past 2 weeks, I've lost about 9 pounds on this whole 30 diet I'm on.
Man, good for you. Tell me more about the diet.
Well, thank you for asking, Adam.
So this pod is sponsored by Whole30.
Yeah, by Whole30. And no, I just want you guys all to know how much weight I've lost. No, so basically you only eat like fruit, veggies, and meat. So like no bread, no rice, no peanuts.
Isn't that just like paleo, or is that different?
So it's different because we don't have like dairy. We don't have cheese. And then we don't have stuff like, I don't think rice is paleo, but like peanuts are okay and beans are okay. We don't eat beans because beans can make you feel weird.
Okay, I gotcha. So just fruit, vegetables, and meat. Is it unlimited?
Unlimited. All you can eat.
See, these diets, I believe they work, but I would probably go to the extreme and just have bacon for every meal and gain weight.
Well, it gets cost prohibitive because we can't have any sugar. So, like, sugar's on everything, even bacon. So we have to buy this bougie bacon that's like a buck a slice. So that kind of stuff.
A buck a slice?
Yeah. It's obviously, it's from Whole Foods.
Okay. Yeah. Classic.
So that really drives up the cost. I mean, it's one of those diets when, like, you tell people, it's like, well, no shit, you lost weight. You know, you can't really eat anything. So, yeah, it helps.
Well, good for you. Glad it's working.
Thanks. Half marathon training. I've got that in early April. So if I don't lose weight, something's really wrong.
You know, I've done a couple half marathons, and I got to say I did not lose weight when I was training or did them. So something is really wrong.
Something's wrong on your end.
Yeah, apparently I don't eat well. I have been kicking around, Brian, doing a full marathon this summer.
You should do it. Also, you've got to be taking in like 3,500 calories a day if you're not losing weight in your marathon training.
Well, it was half marathon training, but yeah, that statement's probably accurate, which is...
Even then, you got to be running like what, like 20 miles a week?
Yeah. Well, some weeks a bit more actually, but yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's not good. I'd like to not think about what I eat. So, but hopefully marathon training, I actually would lose a little weight because I think I wouldn't do the full schedule like super strict to it, but I'd train pretty decent because I'd want to be able to finish. And you know, I used to not get up at all for organized races. I'm still not huge on them, yeah, but
I don't really like them. I'll give you my hot take on organized races. They're kind of lonely. Like you get there, you're early. Like, I don't know, for me at least, like my girlfriend usually comes like an hour into the race because she doesn't want to wake up early with me. But you like go there by yourself. You go to the start line. You're like surrounded by people. You don't really know anyone. I mean, you obviously don't know anyone. I don't really talk to anyone. I just kind of listen to music. And then you run and you're just like by yourself, surrounded by hundreds of people. I find it weird.
Interesting. I like the atmosphere. I feel like I'm a lot more energized from the atmosphere than I would guess I would be. Like if I go on a 6 mile run, I feel like that's about as hard as a half marathon for me in an organized environment. That's how much extra energy I get from it. So wow. I enjoy that, and I don't mind the solitude of having headphones on. In fact, I kind of like it, but, what I don't like about them generally is like, I don't like being told at this time on this day, at this spot, you're going to run 26.2 miles. you know, some days.
Wait, why does that? Why do you not like that? You're choosing it. You sign up for it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying some days you don't feel it. And some days you do, right? What if it's an off day? That's all.
I guess.
But anyways, I'm pretty serious about it. I find as I get older, my body hurts more and I get fatter. And I figure if I'm ever going to do it, I should do it sooner rather than later.
This is true.
So, I'm pretty serious about it. I'm sure I'll be reporting in with any updates on the pod. I'm sure all the listeners care.
You just got to sign up. I mean, that's what forces you to do it. The more you think about it, it's not going to get any easier.
Yeah, I know. But then it's like really commitment. Right now, I can tell people I'm kicking it around, right? Because I haven't committed yet.
You should do Chicago. It's an easy first marathon.
No, I don't like that many people around. It's too many people.
I
yeah.
thought you liked all the people. You're so weird.
No, I like the people running. I don't like the spectators because I don't look good when I'm running. I get, you know, there's just too many people looking at me.
No one remembers you.
I don't care.
Unless you're the guy that's dribbling the basketballs, everyone remembers that guy.
Yeah, or the guy who juggles, which is really cool. Yeah, there are some memorable runners. I know no one remembers me, but it's in my head.
Okay.
Let's move on. Quick agenda, Brian. We got a pretty classic agenda this week. News and notes, followed by a where are they now, followed by a mailbag, followed by good, bad, ugly, / good, better, bad. Is still going to be in the back end of the pod. I think that's kind of a good spot for it.
Yeah, I think so, especially when we don't pod as often as we should.
Yeah, and we're talking about games that are from 13 days ago.
Yeah, we have 8 games to cover. Buckle up.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll bring it.
We keep saying this every week. We're going to try to be doing this every week, and I know we haven't been, and we have the best intentions.
Yep. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
No, we'll get back. This week was my fault, everyone. I worked until like 10 every night, so it sucked.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Brian's a hard worker.
That's why I said that, so you'd all know. Now we're working hard in this pod.
Let's get into it. Let's get into some news and notes. The Wolves, Brian, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you heard of this. The Wolves met with President Obama at the White House. They got a 90-minute tour followed by a meeting with the president himself, who had some comments for the team, including a comment where he told them to play better defense. A couple quotes. Zach LaVine responded with this once-in-a-lifetime trip for many with, quote, "It was dope," unquote. I thought that was pretty good. And
pretty typical.
And Rubio had an insightful comment. He said, quote, "It's one of the great things to see about America, the White House. I like history, so it was something. Ours are not as big as the White House," unquote. Just these are pretty insightful quotes for the Wolves.
Ours are not as big? What does that mean?
I think he's talking about the whatever the Spanish equivalent is of the White House.
I don't
know.
I've been to the – well – that's true. I've been to the palace in Spain. The palace is quite a bit bigger than the White House, but maybe the head of government house, whoever lives there in Spain, probably isn't as big.
Yeah, probably not as big.
Because what's crazy about the White House, if people haven't been, like, you get there and you're like, oh, not that big.
Yeah, I had the same thought. You think it's going to be a lot more big than it is.
Yeah, you see it on TV and they show it and there's like, there's never people in front of it on TV or in movies. Like on Independence Day when they blew up the White House, it looks like the size of like the Sears Tower. It looks huge. When you get there, it's like, oh, it's like a building, you know, it would fit like a few doors across in the curved part. But yeah, it's like a reasonable size big house.
Yeah, but the Wolves got to go. Normally, Brian, the winning NBA team every year gets to visit the White House the next year as sort of a reward. I guess it's helpful to have a president in office who really likes the NBA and likes basketball. The Wolves were able to finagle a visit and a tour with them. Do you think this is the equivalent of like touching the trophy before you win the championship? You have any problem with this?
No. Well. Why would I have a problem with it? Is that supposed to jinx us?
Yeah, a lot of players, I don't know even if it's a lot of players, but I heard some players say they don't want to touch the trophy until they actually win it or things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're at risk of jinxing anything for the next couple seasons, so they can do them. Also, kind of weird that Obama, you know, spent like a full day doing this.
Wait, he didn't spend a full day doing it.
He spent a full day.
I'm guessing he spent about 8 to 10 minutes doing it.
Fine, but he shouldn't, I don't know. He's just a huge sports fan, kind of taking advantage of his position to meet some more athletes.
That's absolutely what he's doing. I don't have a problem with it. He's got like a week left in office, actually 4 days now. Whatever. Let him have some fun.
Fair. Guess it's all Trump's problem now.
It is Trump's problem now.
Trump's going to have like Steve Harvey come in.
Yep, he did meet with Steve Harvey.
So then, you know, presidential legacy to be carried on. Okay, but no, it's cool they went. The pictures look fun. Levine seemed to really like the White House podium and made like a sexy face blue steel Twitter picture or Instagram picture, which is really funny.
Yeah, there's if you read the Star Tribune article, there's a bunch of pictures of them in front of the podium, which is pretty good. Okay, yeah, I don't really have any other insight. I just thought it was interesting. I hadn't heard of a pro team getting to meet with the president unless they won the championship. So all that hype the Wolves have gotten, I guess, somewhat paid off for them there.
Yeah, and one concern I have from the trip is that Levine is starting to turn into one of those annoying girls who makes like the same sexy face in every picture. He's got to start smiling more in some of these pictures.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, clearly he thinks he looks his best with that face. It's like the duck face phenomenon.
Well, he is dating an Instagram celebrity, so she's probably like, Zach, you got to duck face more, otherwise you're never going to be famous.
That probably is their conversation. I caught the end of Zoolander was on tonight, and I caught the end of it, and it's, I don't know why that made me think of it.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Also, real quick news and notes update. Karl Anthony Towns continues to or appears to continue to date the same girl from last time, Kawa XO, minor Instagram celebrity.
Are these girls just Instagram celebrities because they're dating the NBA players, or were they Instagram celebrities and then they started dating them?
Instagram celebrities first, dating them second.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
What's weird? Well, yeah. I think Zach's girl was more famous before, but I think Kat's girl has gotten more famous since Kat.
Okay. That's a good dating update.
Thank you.
Let's move on. Andrew Sharp of Sports Illustrated had a fairly lengthy interview with Rubio. To be honest, not a lot of great takeaways from it, but there were a few that I want to just read here on the pod and then discuss. He asked Rubio, how's your relationship with Wolves head coach Tom Thibodeau? Rubio said he's a really defensive-minded guy, really knows a lot about basketball, spends a lot of time in the gym every day. He wants to get better. We just have to get on the same page is how he ended that, which I thought that was interesting. Rubio is usually, he doesn't unveil stuff like this very often in interviews. So just the fact he said they're not on the same page, I obviously think that's probably true and don't have a problem with him saying that at all and actually respect him a little bit for it. So that was a takeaway from the interview. Another thing I wanted to read, Brian, Andrew Sharp said, so what are you working on right now? How do you improve in the middle of your career? Rubio said, I think I'm getting better at controlling the tempo of the game, controlling the ball. I don't get as many turnovers as I used to earlier in my career, so that's one part that I try to improve. Another part, not just the shooting, but scoring. I got to be more aggressive, but at the same time, run the team. It's just something. Should I run the team or should I score? I got to learn how to balance that and be more aggressive sometimes. Finally, last takeaway, he asked Rubio, who on the Wolves would make the best president? Brian, you have any guess?
Ooh, the best president.
I'll give you a hint. He's not a starter.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Brandon Rush because he's old and distinguished and a champion.
Oh, that's a pretty good guess. But he went with Cole Aldrich. asking why, Rubio said, smart guy, knows what he's doing, and because all the other guys are 20, which I thought that was pretty funny. He said he can't pick any of the 20-year-olds. Anyways, kind of a cool interview. People, go give it a read. Brian, your thoughts on some of these quotes?
Yeah, I mean, I like the comment that they're not on the same page. To me, it implies some level of like they're working to get on the same page.
And,
so,
and to fix the problem, you have to acknowledge there is a problem, which I think is progress.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I like that. The other quote's not as insightful, but yeah, that one's good. It seems like it's starting to get quite a bit better. We'll get into this a bit when we talk about some of the games, but as we go. But I mean, the two big things that I've noticed in the recent winning streak are Rubio's assists seem like they've been up quite a bit, which they were, and then Towns' rebounds are also up quite a bit. So those are kind of two massive flaws in our team, or things that needed to improve, and they did, and we won pretty handily against some pretty good teams.
On that point, Brian, Zach LaVine was out for a couple games this week. Played pretty well in his absence. Brandon Rush played most of the minutes. Bozzi's minutes were stepped up a little bit as well. In those games, you're exactly right. We ran the offense through Rubio. He had his big assist numbers, which he hasn't been putting up a lot this year, and Cat's rebounds were up. Is it time to trade LaVine? I'll just cut right to it.
No, but after that, I mean, everyone's kind of comments were, you know, is a thought that Zach is so bad at defense that it outrules his good on offense. And what's scary is like, it was a 2-game sample size, but it's like, yeah, maybe. Like, I do think it does help us to have at least one vet on the floor. That's not a super hot take. Someone had some other, you know, comments on this on Reddit, but like, to have one guy at least knows what he's doing and in the right place versus, you know, or sorry, having another guy instead of like three bad defenders, there's two bad defenders. I think it makes a big difference. There's a lot less that people have to make up for. So just having another vet out there helps. So I think one answer could be moving Zach to the bench, but I do think we could live without one of Zach or Wiggins. And I don't know which one that is yet.
Yeah, it's still too early to tell. I was kidding a little bit. Should we trade LaVine because of 2 games? But you're right. It did expose some things to think about. I would not pull a trigger on a trade for either one of them yet. I want to see them both play a little longer. I don't think we need to do a trade of that magnitude this year. I'm not really sure why we would.
No, but it's always what we get. Like maybe someone makes a crazy, I guess no one would make us a crazy offer, but maybe someone's super high on Zach or super high on Wiggins. Maybe they want to get rid of an unhappy star and they feel like they need to get someone who they could sell to their fans as the next star along the way. I think either of those guys fits that bill. Wiggins probably more so than Zach, because he was a number one pick. But yeah, I don't think we would like rush to trade either of them at any point soon. I just think it's okay. Something we could be open to.
Okay. I agree with that. Moving on, John Krasinski of the Associated Press reported that the Wolves hired Dwight Lutz and Nick Restifo to run the Wolves analytics department. I think this is overwhelmingly good news. I have no idea who these guys are, I'm going to be honest. But just the fact we're stepping up our efforts in that department, I don't even know if that department existed before. It sounds like
it did. It was run by, I think it's Matt Bellaro.
Okay.
I mean, well, at this point, like every team has an analytics department. I think some take it more seriously than others, but I think it's a great sign we're investing resources and 2 more headcount in it.
Yeah, I still think if you own a $1 billion franchise, I'm just surprised every team doesn't have a dozen analytics guys. It seems like such a minimal investment. And, you know, if it could make or break you making the playoffs, just like once, it pays for itself. So yeah, I like this by the Wolves. I'd like to see them add to the department. I'd like to see them have it a focus. As a small market team, you have to find little ways, more creative ways, I think, to win and stand out. And this is an opportunity. Not every team has a huge focus on analytics in the NBA yet. I think 10 years from now, that'll be different. I think it'll be more like baseball, where essentially every team in baseball is analytics focused. All these sabermetrics writers from the past are now GMs in baseball. And you're seeing that a little bit in basketball.
John Hollinger.
Yeah, no, you're right. And who's the Rockets GM?
Morey.
Yeah, Daryl Morey. And then obviously...
Did you have a point about Daryl Morey? You just said Daryl Morey.
Well, no, he's very analytics focused. He's super focused.
Yeah, I think the league has... Basketball is not as decided as baseball because there's definitely an element of chemistry, whereas baseball is almost the pieces are
they're
rarely
individuals.
Greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, in baseball, they don't interact with each other.
No, yeah, you just like only on defense a little bit, and even then, it's like you make the right, they make the right play 98% of the time, 99% of the time. It doesn't matter. But basketball, yeah, there's some like, there's an element of, do I like this guy? If I give him the ball, will I ever get it back? Can I trust this guy to be in the right place on defense so I know I don't need to help? And that, I'm sure they can get that. Well, I would hope they can get that with analytics and like SportView. It's like, oh, does like Carl tend to double team more when he sees Gorgie on the block versus Aldrich on the block or something like that? But there's some element of that. So basketball, it's everyone accepts it, and that's why we see more, way more style of play we have. And coaches like Byron Scott got ridiculed when they said they didn't want to shoot threes. But it hasn't like totally taken over like baseball.
No, it hasn't. But you're seeing, you know, like I said, teams have a more analytics.
Yeah,
focus.
There's a shift.
And I mean, just in simple ways, right? If you look at average 3-pointers attempted per game in the NBA for the last 5 years, it goes up about 15% every year, if I remember right. And it's just going to keep going up because teams, frankly, should be shooting more threes. It's just simple math. And that sort of stuff, I think, is driven by analytics. So it doesn't even have to be these complicated sport view tracking algorithms. It can just be sometimes simple math, I think, drives some of the change.
Yeah, a little bit. I would also say what's funny about basketball, though, it's like it still almost always boils down to, well, that's not true with the Spurs, but like the best players every year are the ones in the final. Like Curry's been the best player for a couple of years, and LeBron is almost always the best player, and they're almost always in the finals lately. And it just boils down to having one of these, like maybe five guys, but it seems like even lately it's like one of like three or four guys. It's crazy.
It's true. It makes you think how much better those guys are than the competition,
which is crazy because the difference in stats is like, I don't know. It's like LeBron's going to have worse stats than like Westbrook and maybe like Anthony Davis. But like he just turns it on when he needs to. And like being around him makes guys so much better. Sorry, I feel like we're really digressing. But yeah, glad we're investing in analytics. I feel like we're a little behind the curve, I think. Basketball is still a little behind baseball on where it is, but it's getting to where it needs to be. So I agree with you.
I think that's a good summary. Next news item I have, Brian, the Wolves have waived John Lucas III. I feel like we hardly knew him.
Literally.
Okay. I don't really have a lot of comments. It seemed, why not carry him on the roster? He wasn't going to be someone who's going to play a lot, so he gone.
Yeah. Maybe, we're trying to do right by him. Maybe he'll get a chance to play on another team.
Yeah, could be. Maybe. Anyways, wish him well.
Yeah, you don't care enough to talk about it.
I don't know. What starts he didn't play? I came across an interesting stat, Brian. The Wolves are 0-10 in games decided by 5 points or fewer this year. If you look at our point differential, I think we're like 8th in the West, which, is not where we're currently sitting in the standings. I think this...
we are 8th in the West. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think a lot of this backs up our bad variance. I really think it does. I think some of it points to inexperience at end of games and probably some bad end of game coaching from what I've seen as well. But, a lot of this is bad variance as well. The Wolves seem like they've turned a corner. And by that, I mean, they're a 500 team now, I think. I think they'll play about 500 ball the rest of the year. It's kind of more or less where we expect them to be at the beginning of the year. They just had such a bad start. They're probably not going to recover from it.
That's crazy. If we would have been 4-6 in those games, which is about what you'd expect, like average, it's a coin flip to like kind of bad, losing to more experienced teams, we'd be the 8th seed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, when we say we'd be the 8th seed or we're like 3 games back of the 8th seed, it's like the worst 8th seed in a long time. So like anyone could lose that spot or get that spot really easily.
Yeah, it's interesting right now in the West that 1-7 is far superior than 8 on down.
Yeah, but like 8-13, there's like a 2-game difference, 3-game difference.
I know. It's kind of cool the Wolves are still in the hunt. Still a long shot, though, I think.
Yeah. Also, it's weird how many more games the Lakers have played than everyone else.
They played a lot more games?
They played 6 more games than the Nuggets.
That's very strange.
That's a lot. Like 45 games through, they've played like 15% more games. That's too much. They gotta work that out in the schedule.
agree. Come on, NBA. Last news item I have, Brian, is I got a report that I looked at my first NBA mock draft. Draft Express currently has us taking Malik Monk out of Kentucky. He's a 6'4 combo guard. Gotta say, I'm not too excited about him. Sounds a little like Chris Dunn, but he can shoot a little bit better. Brian, your thoughts?
No, I think he's different than Chris Dunn. He's more of a pure scorer. Isn't he the same dude who went nuts against North Carolina for like 44 points?
He is. Yep.
Oh, I feel pretty good about that.
Oh, you're liking it. Anyways,
I kind of want a power forward.
Yeah, I do too. That's my thing. There's a good power forward in the draft too. Anyways, I don't think it's too early, Brian. I think it's time to start thinking about mock drafts. Draft Express, by the way, if you're really down on the Timberwolves, has 2018 rankings out for that draft class as well. So you can get excited about 2 years worth of mock drafts.
Cool.
You're not as excited about the mock draft as I am.
I don't know. I don't know any players, so I really have nothing to add to this conversation.
Yeah, I don't know anyone. I mean, I know the top, like, one player. That's it.
Yeah, like, everyone talks about Lonzo Ball is probably the best player. Good for Boston, by the way. Like, they're just going to keep getting another good young player every year. Do you think Boston should trade that pick?
Probably not, unless they have some sort of plan. They're obviously really good, but they're not good enough to win a title with their current roster.
No, that's true. The mock draft I'm looking at has us drafting Harry Giles, which is a hilarious name. Harry Giblets.
I hope we pick Harry Giles. Tell me about Harry Giles.
He's a power forward, nice, at Duke. He's 6'11", 222 pounds, has a 9'1 reach, which I don't really know how to value reach, but a 7'3 wingspan, so not crazy long. But he's big, positives, long, explosive, athletic big man, plays in attack mode on both ends. Actually, that would be really nice. I could use a guy who attacks more. Elite rebounder, high basketball IQ, versatile defender. Ugh, God, it'd be so nice if we just got, like, Nerlens Noel.
You forgot one of his strengths. His name's what? Harry Giles.
His name's Harry Giles. He's also the lead singer of One Direction. I don't know. I don't know who we're going to pick.
What's that guy's name for real?
What?
The One Direction singer. It's Harry.
Isn't it Harry something?
Yeah, it's like Harry.
Let's not worry about it.
Now I'm curious.
Okay.
It's
cool.
Harry Styles. Oh, it's super
cool.
Oh,
Harry Styles.
Okay.
Cool.
Super
But no, I mean, we can't win too many more games because I don't want to get out of the top 10.
I agree. Sorry, I'm looking up famous One Direction songs to come up with a Harry Giles nickname for when he's on the Wolves and he's a superstar.
You don't know you're beautiful? That'll be his nickname. Mr. Beautiful.
But I like that. It's a little too far removed, though. People would really have to know where it comes from.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Have we got off the track here? Okay. Anyways, check out mock drafts. I feel like it's fun, and, you know, when the season's maybe not looking the best, it's just a way to stay engaged. Brian, you ready for Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
Let's do this. Stop me when you know who it is. This is a very special Where Are They Now, Brian, I gotta say, because it's the only Timberwolves player I've ever gotten an in-person autograph from. Little hint for you. Born in Louisville, Kentucky, he attended college at Louisville, where he became its all-time leading field goal percentage leader at 62.8%. He did graduate from Louisville, played all four seasons, and after graduating, he was drafted by the Timberwolves with the 6th overall pick in the 1990 NBA draft. He played...
I think I'm wrong here, but I'm going to throw one out. Is it Pooh Richardson?
It's not Pooh Richardson.
I always guess Pooh Richardson.
It's a strong guess. One of these times it will be Pooh. Although I thought we did a Where Are They Now about Pooh already.
We may have. I think you already did one about Campbell too.
Yeah, I did do one about Campbell. That would have been probably one of my guesses on this too. Anyways, he played 3 total seasons for the Wolves. He ended up scoring 1,270 career points for the Wolves. He had 1,400 rebounds and 4,800 assists for the Wolves. After his 3 seasons, he was traded to Utah in the 92-93 season for Mike Brown. He then played 3 seasons with Utah, 1 in Orlando, 3 in Golden State, 1 in San Antonio, and 2 for the Knicks before retiring in 2002 and subsequently became the assistant coach for Spalding University. He is currently...
It's not Bill Wennington, is it?
It's not Bill Wennington, no. It is a big guy, though. It's a big guy. Now he's an assistant coach at Bellarmine U in Louisville, which is the city he grew up in, and he's somewhat of a hometown hero, so he's very celebrated as that school's now assistant coach. I'm trying to think of other hints I can give you because I'm kind of done here.
Yeah, this one's hard. I don't know.
It's super hard because he played for the team, what, 20 years ago? Over 20 years ago now. It's Felton Spencer.
Oh, Felton Spencer. Oh. Nice.
You know, you mock that, but when I got a Felton Spencer autograph, so quick story. It was, I think it was like Cub Scout night at the Wolves game. So you got, I went with some friends, our dads went, and it must have been super cheap for them. And we had literally the worst seats in the house. We were like way in the upper deck in the corner. But pregame, you could sit by the tunnel and hope that players would come out and give you autographs. And I remember this game very clearly. We were playing Orlando, and I was hoping for a Tony Campbell autograph. I'm not going to lie. No one came out except Felton Spencer. Came out, signed, you know, probably took 10 minutes, signed about 50 autographs or whatever. And he signed, I had a white card, just a blank piece of like thick paper.
Like a note card?
It wasn't a note card, but it was like not like press board. You know the big boards you like do presentations on when you're in elementary school? It was like that thickness of paper. Just plain white. He just signed his name on it. I still have it today among my baseball card collection. And you know what? It's funny. As a kid, I was totally amped about that. And it makes me think those players who spend a few extra minutes signing autographs, they're really bringing a lot of joy to the kids. So shout out to Felton Spencer. I forever respect you for giving me an autograph.
You have Adam's forever respect.
He definitely cares. Don't pretend he doesn't care. All right. Yeah, that was probably a little too hard of one, given that he was kind of a mediocre player a long time ago.
Yeah, that was just kind of about your Felton Spencer autograph.
Yeah, obviously. That was the whole thing. I just want to be able to tell the story somehow and not have it be weird. Let's get in some mailbox.
You've got mail.
TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Please keep the emails coming, guys. We really appreciate it. Good emails this week. You can also find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast. See here. First email is from Mike Lewis, and Mickey both wrote in to say they're pleased with the last mailbag, that we gave them answers to their questions. Appreciate the follow-up, guys. Thanks for sending those in. We did get an email from Matt. Thank you for the email. He sent a video and said this video went well with your discussion about Tyus Jones. I think these two overestimate Jones' defense, but his offensive abilities could really help our spacing on offense. Brian, getting back to Tyus Jones' discussion, you want us to play Tyus Jones a little bit more?
I can't tell. When I watched the Dallas game a bit yesterday, didn't really do much. He was just kind of drifting around. The numbers back that up. You know, no assists, no rebounds, no steals, no blocks, blah, blah. He was just kind of there. And because he's bad at defense, he needs to do a lot more than that. So I don't know. He was good against the first Dallas game. He had 7 points, but hasn't scored since then in the last 3. So I'm torn on Tyus, man. I feel like he can shoot, but he hasn't shown much else lately, and he needs help to do so.
Yeah, he does. I stick with my opinion from last pod, I think. Let's throw him out there 10, 12 minutes a game, see what he can do. I'm not optimistic. I've never been, but, you know, whatever. It can't hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it's our backup point guard minutes. What was interesting, last night he played Tyus and Dunn together, which I thought was pretty ballsy because they're both so inexperienced. I think he wanted to see if Dunn's defense could make up for Tyus's and offense vice versa, but turns out they do not combine to make one good backcourt. Also, interesting news, Tyus has not had an assist since Christmas, but he's only played in 3 games since then. So,
interesting. That's very interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, the dude's played like 40 minutes since December started, since he got his minutes cut for some reason. So he wasn't that bad before he got cut. I'm not sure why. But if Tyus playing less means Brandon Rush plays more, I am totally cool with that.
Oh, you want to see more Brandon Rush?
So it's kind of weird. Brandon Rush starts 2 games. We beat 2 significantly better teams than us. LaVine comes back. Rush gets 3 minutes. It seemed like something was going well. I don't think Brandon Rush is our savior, but I think it helped.
Also, kind of
a slap in the face to Brandon Rush. Like, he played 36 minutes, 40 minutes in. Immediately, Zach comes back, and he's down to 3.
A little surprising, yeah, because he was pretty effective in those minutes.
Yeah, he shot 4 for 7 and 3 for 6 from 3. He knows where to be on defense. Not a great athlete, but got, like, 3 rebounds, 4 rebounds. I don't know. He seemed to help us. He definitely didn't seem to hurt us. So, yeah, kind of surprised that Tyus would get those minutes over Rush, but Tyus needs to develop, I guess, and Rush does not.
Agreed. Let's play Brandon Rush a little bit more. Next email is from Lutz. Lutz from Germany. Thank you for the email.
Ah, Guten Tag.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know any German. Anyways, thanks.
Yeah, mine was actually a word, but you're speaking German noises now.
You're saying ja is not yes in German?
I don't know. I think it is, but let's keep going.
Okay. Anyways, thanks for the email. Basically, Lutz writes in that trade rumors are in full speed, and he throws out some guys he'd like to see the Wolves get. He said in a dream scenario, the Wolves would need someone like Serge Ibaka and George Hill to get some established defenders. He also likes Paul Millsap as a possibility. He goes on to put some more realistic alternatives. He throws out Marcus Smart, Trevor Booker, Kenneth Faried, or Wilson Chandler. Interesting on that.
I like these options. These are very realistic options. Thank you.
Yeah, outside of trade, I think the Wolves should also look into former 76er Hollis Thompson to replace Bozzi, make him more expendable for a potential trade, maybe even Jarrett Jack once he is ready to play. Your thoughts. Thanks for the email, Lutz, and thanks for highlighting in bold the players' names to make it sort of easy to pick out. Very well done email. I appreciate it. Brian, your thoughts to some of these names.
Yeah, let's get more specific because there's a lot of names in there. So which ones do you want to talk about?
Let's start with the pie in the sky names. George Hill, Serge Ibaka, Paul Millsap.
You know, I don't think they're pie in the sky at all because I think they're all set to be free agents quite soon. Millsap's set to be a free agent this summer. I think he has a player option. Same with Ibaka. That's what made Orlando's trade so risky. They're probably going to lose him because they're going to keep being bad unless he goes with the money. So, and I don't know George Hill's situation, but let's assume he's got a year or so left. So I think they're all realistic. We're going to have a buttload of cap room, especially with this injury exception where we can medically retire Peck. And we're going to have, what, like $30 million a room this summer?
Yeah, we're going to have a ton of cap space. I think that's about right.
So we could realistically sign any of these guys. So no, I don't think it's impossible. Do I want to sign any of them? For what money? I think they're all going to command over $20 million a year. So if we were to get any of them, they would become a big signing in the offseason. Millsap's pretty interesting because he's actually quite good at defense and quite good at offense. So I'd sign Millsap for like a 3-year deal for $60 million. He'll probably get more, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think he's going to get a lot more than that.
25? God, you think he's a max guy? I don't like him at the max.
He might be close.
Oh, he's so old, though.
I know. How old is Paul Millsap?
I think 31, like a 4-year max. We're going to have to max out Wiggins. We're going to max out Towns. We're going to have to pay Zach. Zach's probably going to get the max. Also, I don't like this new thing that freaking everyone gets the max. It used to be hard to get the max. Now it's just like, whoa. Because of that crazy summer we had last summer, now everyone gets the max.
Now you just sound like an old guy.
But
back
like,
in my day, you had to earn the max.
How do you evaluate these deals? I guess the market will decide, but anyway.
He is 31, by the way. You're exactly right.
Thanks. Which of the three would I have? Millsap, obviously. I think Hill is more realistic. Yeah, I'd be happy to get Hill and probably move Ricky.
Ibaka? You want him?
Do I want him? Not for what close to he would make. I'm low on Ibaka. He's kind of limited in offense. He's good, not great at defense.
That's kind of what we need, though, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't want to pay him what I think he's going to get. I don't want to pay any of these guys. I don't know, man. What do you think? Would you want to sign Ibaka?
No, probably not. But I would sign Paul Millsap, not for the max, but he'd be a phenomenal addition.
Yeah, I'd be pretty excited with Paul Millsap for like the next 3 years. He could be that guy that gets us to the next level. What sucks is his time frame is so much different than our guys'.
Yeah, that's true. And I've been preaching that for a long time. But to be honest, I'm sick of losing. Like, I'm willing to mess up our future a little bit to win a little bit more today. We have to start winning. This rebuild is taking too long.
Yeah, it's taking quite the while.
How about the next tier? Marcus Smart, Trevor Booker, Kenneth Reed, Wilson Chandler.
I think Marcus Smart's a better Chris Dunn at this point, so I don't not that interested there. Trevor Booker, I don't know, just like a mediocre backup big guy. I'm not that into it. Who are the last two again?
Kenneth Fareed, Wilson Chandler.
Oh, I hate Fareed.
Yeah, I don't like Fareed either.
No, he's just like an offensive stats guy. He's like Shabazz if Shabazz was taller. Wilson Chandler is actually quite good. I'd be pretty happy with Wilson Chandler. He could be the guy that Shabazz was supposed to be, just coming off the bench and scoring a bunch. And decent at defense, too, or wouldn't hurt us as much as defense as Shabazz. So, yeah, I like Wilson Chandler. That'd be great.
Okay.
How about, none of these guys could be like our top dollar signing in the offseason. If we get them for like, you know, $10 million a year, that'd be great.
How about Hollis Thompson? I'm just going to go ahead and admit, don't know much about him. You know anything about him, Brian?
He's been on the Sixers. He likes to shoot threes. He's
it appears he's been out of the league for a little while now. He last played for the Sixers in 2013. He's 25.
Nah, dude. He played on the Sixers this year. He's played 31 games.
Oh, okay.
What side are you looking at?
I was just quick looking at the Wikipedia summary. It said who last played for the Philadelphia 76ers and ahead of his 2013 salary.
Interesting. Yeah, that one's pretty dated. No, he's on their team. Yeah, I don't know. He gets minutes. He's kind of mediocre. Kind of similar numbers to Baz, but he's a little bit better at threes. So, sure, sign us up.
All right. Strong email.
I wouldn't be excited about Hollis Thompson. I don't think he would add anything.
Yeah, he's not going to move the needle. Very strong email. Thank you for the email, Lutz. We have a couple spam emails, which is kind of cool. And that's all. Anything on the Twitter?
On Twitter. News and notes. I don't know if you saw this, but there was pictures of Kevin Garnett working out with DeAndre Jordan. And apparently he's been a consultant, or is working sometimes as a consultant to the Clippers. Adam, what do you think about this?
You know, I think we've maybe talked about that in the pod. I'm fine with it. I mean, you know, whatever. He really likes Doc Rivers. He likes a few of the other guys on the Clippers. I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't care either. At TWolvesFan12 said, T-Wolves Podcast, does this also make you guys extremely salty? Why not teach our YGs KGY? And from his perspective, like, I think he did. I think he did that last year. I'm sure he worked pretty hard at it. And I think there's some emotional baggage here. I think it's hard for him to be here a lot. And he's probably just ready for something new. He probably felt underappreciated by Taylor. I don't know what their relationship's like. But, yeah, I think he was just kind of done.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, I really don't blame him. He doesn't. You know, he likes Minnesota, obviously, has a lot of history here, but he doesn't live here. He's not employed by the Wolves. He doesn't own any part of the team. It's just a nice part of his past probably to him, and he's moved on and frankly has deeper connections with the Clippers. I'm sure he spends a lot of time in LA. So I don't fault him. It doesn't make me salty.
No. We got tagged by at Latboy about a post about how Buddy Hield has caught fire and now is third in rookie scoring and fourth in the rookie of the year race. Adam, how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel kind of good because I was a pro Buddy Hield. I liked Buddy Hield in the draft. I wanted us to pick Chris Dunn over Buddy Hield, but I, you know, said I was good with Hield.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you liked Hield. I was not a big fan of Hield. I would have liked Jamal Murray because I thought he was like a maybe younger Hield. But turns out lately I may have been wrong. Hield is now, since starting out terribly, since late November, shooting about 50% from three. And I think since that time period, he's like third or fourth in the NBA in number of three-pointers made. So making a lot at a ridiculous rate. And Jamal Murray has totally cooled off. He started out crazy. Now he's down to about like 31%. But I mean, as a guy who can come in as a rookie in his first, you know, 20 games, he shot like almost 45%. He'll probably get back there. He's just hitting a rookie wall.
I don't know. I don't have anything to add. It's still too soon to tell for all these rookies. It's still too soon. Even Chris Dunn.
Maybe Chris Dunn.
Nah, even Chris Dunn. Anything else?
Cool.
Any other tweets?
Another tweet was, the starters asked which team has been the most disappointing this season, and Latboy tagged us and a few other Wolves podcasts. I don't know if we've been the most disappointing. I think New Orleans might be more disappointed because I think they finally thought, like, they'd have some more guys around Davis and could do some stuff. But yeah, we kind of knew we'd be like better. I wasn't convinced we're going to be a playoff team. Some people were, but I think they're probably more frustrated than we are.
Really? I actually think we're the most disappointing team. We're currently two games worse than them, and I'm not sure. I feel like our expectations might have been a little higher than theirs on the whole. So I'm going to go with the Wolves.
Okay, fair enough. I'd be pretty pissed. They're also later in the development timeline. Like, Davis is in what, like his fifth year?
Yeah, that's true. And obviously they haven't been able to surround him with anyone. How about Orlando?
Yeah, good call out. Orlando also pretty disappointing. I thought
they're 17-25 in the East.
Yeah, they gave up Oladipo for maybe a year of Ibaka and really didn't get any better. They've got a lot of young guys. They keep getting good draft picks, and it's just not happening.
They're kind of like the Wolves, but their players are like a caliber worse. They're young guys.
It's true. Well, I felt like, Aaron Gordon's so limited in what he can do. Like, he's just going to be like a really athletic small ball power forward who can dunk and like guard guys on defense. Yeah, but they're like their best player from their entire rebuild was like they just kept picking at like the eight spot. So they never got a great player. Oladipo was going to be the best one. He was like, what, like the third or fourth pick in that draft. And they just gave him up for nothing. So I still think that was kind of a weird move.
Yeah, I agree. It was a weird move. How about the Knicks? 18-24?
Nah.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they were this bad last year. I don't know why people thought they were going to get much better. They overplayed expectations to start the season. Now they're reverting. Derrick Rose is terrible. I don't know. Sorry, I feel kind of bad for Orlando. Like, their rebuild topped out at, like...
yeah, I know.
Like, 10 games away from the... Or, like, 8 games away from the playoffs last year. That's like a Timberwolves 2005 to 2012 rebuild.
Yeah, it's rough. I feel bad, too.
Yeah. So, anyway.
We've been through it.
Yeah. Welcome to the next 14 years, guys.
Yeah, we're told it gets better. Anything else, Brian? Any other tweets?
No, that's it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Keep them coming. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or at TWolvesPodcast on the Twitter. Brian, let's fly through these games. Good, bad, ugly, good, better, bad. We're at about 50 minutes, I think, already. So let's do it. First game is a 105-112 loss at Washington. Wiggins was the highlight for this one. I'll just go good with Wiggins. 41 points. He did shoot 30 times, but you can't complain if someone scores 41.
No, it was a good bounce back game for him coming off the heels of it. The game before was the one where he lost not Hollis Thompson, but the other like mediocre 3-point shooter from Philly who was had a terrible game. We lost because of Wiggins. So he bounced back here, tried to keep us in it, but yeah, he was fine. Anyways, the bad was done. 13 minutes, no points, 2 fouls. He had 3 assists, which is fine. But also in this one, Brandon Rush got some minutes, and he was 4-for-4 and 2-for-2 from 3.
Oh, all right, man.
Building my Brandon Rush case.
I like it. I like that you're on the Brandon Rush bandwagon. I don't really know where to go with ugly for this one. I'm just going to give it to our bench for generally uninspired play.
And for generally being awful.
Yeah, outside of Brandon Rush, I mean, the rest of the bench brought absolutely nothing. Moving on to a 94-92 loss at home against Utah. This game, devastating might not even be the right word. I was pretty in shock watching this game, Brian. I think I sent out some texts to both you, John, and Nick at the end of this one. So we, Utah went on 11-0 run to end this game. I had some major problems at the end of the game. We had an inability to inbound the ball with 50 seconds left. We had a bad play with Levine, inexplicably running down the shot clock. We're down by two. There's 10 seconds left, and he just, like, dribbles the ball and runs down the clock for 8 seconds. Like, I don't know if he thought the game was tied or if he thought we were winning, but neither were the case. It was really bad. Props to Jim Pete in this game for, I don't know, I think Jim Pete and Dave Benz, friend of the pod, have been at their best this year. Both their chemistry is amazing. Their insight's amazing. And Jim Pete, I love how whenever the Wolves make a mistake, he just goes, like you just hear him like, and then he'll like on the next replay, he'll walk through where the mistake was and what we should have done and slow it down. And I just think it's phenomenal. He's done a really nice job.
I love the because it like disappoints him to his core. He's like, ugh.
Oh, he truly cares, which is awesome. Part of why I love them. Anyways, tough game, Brian. Can I start with the ugly 11-0 run to end the game? This is a game we should have won. I mean, we scored 12 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. The positive, we shifted the third quarter collapses to the fourth quarter, so we're getting better.
Yeah. You know what, though? It's easier to watch when we collapse in the third quarter.
It's true. It's less soul crushing.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
It was a tough one. It was a close game against a better team. Yeah, I mean, the bad was our offense. You know, there's a sequence. We're actually rebounded the ball really well. So in 3-10, Favors made a dunk. Wiggins got blocked by Gobert. Wiggins got the rebound. Zach missed a three. Towns got the rebound. Wiggins missed a three. Gorgie got the rebound. Levine missed a 29.3. And then there was a shot clock violation. Not really what you want to see for late game execution. I don't know. Maybe throw it to Towns on the block. Maybe run a pick and roll. Would that be so crazy?
Yeah, that would be crazy. We just play hero ball at the end. Everyone knows that.
We do, but it's ridiculous. Like, I knew he makes one of those threes. We probably win the game, but we could have just played basketball. That would have been fun.
Yes, that would have been good. We shot 41% from the floor in this game. Just not a good game. I don't even know if I want to give out a good for this one. Yeah.
I'm gonna
pass.
Across the board. And then, like, coming out of a timeout, Utah scores, Rubio throws the ball out of bounds. Coming out of another timeout with 52 seconds left, 8 seconds into the play, Gorgie misses a 19-footer. I don't know. We finally go inside. With 24 seconds left, Town gets a shot, misses it, obviously. We get a rebound. Zach misses with, 1 second left.
Another thought. I'm looking through my notes. I actually took some notes while I watched this one. Wiggins has got to stop with these dribble, shoot an 18-foot jump shot with 16 seconds left on the shot clock. It just has no place in our offense. It's not Wiggins' strength. It leads to games like this where he goes 6-for-19 from the field. You know, I don't know what to say. Like, he is so freaking effective when he's cutting to the basket and attacking the hoop. You know, if he needs a breather, I get it, but don't take a breather by just jacking up jump shots, which is not his long suit. I would imagine Thibodeau knows this and he's telling him this and it's just not happening, but something's got to happen where Wiggins starts playing a little smarter, which frankly could propel him to the next level. I mean, if he wants to make some all-star teams, that's a good place to start.
Yeah. His percentage of shots as long twos is super high, and he shoots 36% from there. Even his mid-range, he shoots 41%, which is actually pretty fantastic for mid-range, but that's just, he shouldn't be shooting many of those. So, agreed.
All right. Let's move on. That reminds me, I think Zach Lowe wrote up a thing in his like 10 things I like or don't like. He had Andrew Wiggins cuts was one of the things he likes. And he had a nice video in there of Wiggins making some sick cuts to the basket. Sometimes they're simple. Like they're just pick and roll and he cuts to the basket, but he's able to do it so quickly the defenders often can't stay with him. Let's move on to the winning streak. Starting with a 101-92 win at home against Dallas. Brian, I commented off the air, I feel like we've played Dallas a lot this year. This was just a nice solid win, spearheaded by Karl Anthony Towns, 34 points on 15 for 19 from the field. 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Pretty monster game by Towns.
Yeah, he's a beast, and I think that's what makes a difference. Like, so one of the reasons that he was so effective this game is that he rebounded the ball well. He only shot 3 threes instead of 6, and he made 2 of them because I think he picked his spots better, so I think that helped. And he was inside more, so he goes 15 for 19 instead of, you know, shoot 6 threes, maybe not feeling as confident, you know, misses some more of those, and maybe he ends up like, you know, 8 of 17 and we lose. So I feel really good about that. Obviously, the better goes to Rubio with 15 assists, 7 of 7 from the line. So he's attacking, which I like a lot. And 5 steals. Ricky, 13, 15, and 5. That's a pretty monster game. And 5 rebounds.
Yeah, that absolutely is very monster. my best for this, you go a lot of ways, but I think it's going to our team rebound. We out-rebounded Dallas 42-25 in this game, which is a margin you don't see very often in the NBA.
Well put.
Dallas, 25 rebounds as a team.
Yeah, pretty weird considering they started Bogut. Dirk's never been Dirk's old. He was minus 20. Actually, the rest of their starters were even except Dirk was minus 20.
Yeah.
Just kills them on defense.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Either way, fun start to the winning streak. Next game, 105-119 win at home against Houston. This felt like revenge, Brian. That game we lost against Houston where we had an epic collapse at the end of the fourth quarter. This was a nice way to get back at them. Continued our offensive hot streak in this one, shooting 54% from the field. I'll let you go. You go good, Brian.
My good, Brandon Rush, starting the game, playing 36 minutes, 4 for 7 from 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, which when's the last time you saw it from a shooting guard? Nice to have a professional out there. And although only plus 2, I think made a difference, and really stepped up in place of Zach.
Yeah. My, better is going to our team defense. Some individuals stepped up. Brandon Rush is obviously an upgrade from Zach LaVine. Wiggins actually, I thought had a really nice defensive game in this one. We ended up holding Houston, the offensive juggernaut, to 41% from the field. They did shoot 35% from 3, but overall, nice effort by us.
Yeah, I would agree. We're struggling a bit lately to defend the 3. We can talk about that in the Dallas game, but that's something that's hurt us. But inside, we played well and best. A rebounding margin that apparently you do see often because we out-rebounded them by 17 again in this game. Oh, snap. 49-32. But most impressively is the 31 assists. Rubio had basically the same game without the steals, but 10 points, 8 of 8 from the free throw line, and 17 assists. Just, you know, free Ricky. And I think good things are starting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like when the ball's in Ricky's hands more on offense, good things do happen.
It doesn't stagnate. Like, he gets to different parts of the floor. Like, yes, he can't shoot. So when we have him do more than just spot up, he's a lot more helpful to our team. And it seems to make a difference. Zach, not a great passer yet. Wiggins obviously doesn't like to pass. So when we have Brandon Rush in there, who's more willing to move the ball and isn't going to just stop when it gets to him, and we only have one guy like that, I think it helps.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, I'm going to get off the Brandon Rush thing, sorry.
No, I love that you love Brandon Rush. He's your new belly.
My new belly.
Could the winning streak continue, Brian? Yes, it could. 96-86 win at home against Oklahoma City. I was at this game. Got to say, real good attendance in this game. It was good to see the fans were into it. It was sort of a wire-to-wire win by the Wolves, which was really nice. Also, Westbrook had another triple-double in this game, but it didn't matter. We still managed to win.
Well, he had a quadruple-double. I don't know if you knew that.
Quadruple-double?
Turnovers.
He had 10 turnovers?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not notice that until just now. That's pretty incredible. Okay. That probably helped us.
That is 1 for 10 from three.
That also helped us. Anyways, Brian, what's your good?
My good goes to Ricky Rubio, leading the way again. 14 assists, 14 points. This time didn't even have to go to the line, just 6 for 12 from the field, racking it up. 4 steals. He basically seems like a reinvigorated player right now, and it's just been awesome for the team.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, we should not trade Zach LaVine, but when LaVine isn't on the court, that's a lot more time that Rubio gets to have the ball in his hands, which seems to be a big positive for our offense. So props to Rubio for really stepping up his game. You know, I think Rubio is the showcase of this game, in my opinion, but I'm for better. I'll go Towns, led the team in points, 29 points, 11 for 17 from the field, and 17 rebounds, Brian. We actually got out-rebounded in this game, but Towns at least kept that margin to only 5.
Yeah, we gave up a lot of offensive rebounds in this game. They had 16 offensive rebounds compared to our 33 defensive rebounds, so pretty high rate, which sucks. But they missed a lot of shots. They didn't shoot the ball at all from three, and they turned it over a little too much. So that's where we got them. And the best is got to be my man Belly. 8 points, 3 rebounds, 14 minutes, just straight crushing it.
Belly, epic game. Just epic.
Now, Wiggins is good. Wiggins hasn't dominated the shots as much lately in our little winning streak since the Washington game. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's pretty effective. Again, I think it goes back to Rubio making the distribution decisions a lot of the time, and that results in people being in good spots and him finding the open guy and more motion on offense. And yeah, if Wiggins gets fewer shots, so be it.
Okay.
We cap off this winning streak with a loss, 87-98 loss at Dallas. This is a weird game, Brian. It started at like 1 o'clock. I'll admit, I didn't even watch it because I didn't know it was on. A 1 o'clock game on a Sunday just doesn't really happen. I guess they changed the game time because they didn't want it to conflict with the Dallas Cowboys Green Bay Packer game. So you'll have to tell me who's good.
Who's good? Gorgie. Gorgie actually played really well in this game, or at least in the minutes I saw. Finished with 21-8. Had a play in the fourth quarter where actually, like, I had friends over, we were talking, and I, like, mid-conversation just yelled because I couldn't believe it just happened. It was a 2-on-2 break, and Zach was cutting, and Gorgie looked like he was going to lob it to Zach, and then Gorgie euroed step over the defender and finger rolled over him to finish off a coast-to-coast fast break from a Gorgie steal, and I was very happy.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll take what I can get.
I'm going to award the bad for this game. Our bench, outside of your boy Belly, the bench managed doing some quick math. 25, 39, 42 minutes for everyone besides Belly. 0 points.
0 points.
Zero. Literally
so,
zero.
Yeah, and the ugly is also the bench. Just effing terrible. Like, provided nothing. So what happened in the third quarter? We started out the third quarter behind. The team actually went on a pretty decent run. The starters went on a decent run to cut it down to like 2 or 4 points by roughly the end of the third, or when the bench guys came back in and just away the lead and just started hemorrhaging points. So by the time the starters came back in again, we were down 12, and it was too late. There's really nothing we can do. So, yeah, our bench really crushed us in this one. Part of it's the rotations, though. I don't like how quickly Tibbs is able to leave them without like a good score. At one point, it was Gorgie and 4 bench guys, which I don't think is a great move. I think he should be able to leave one of Zach or Wiggins to get some buckets.
Yeah, and to his credit, generally he does do that. Mostly I've been seeing him doing that with Zach, where he leaves Zach with the bench unit, and I think that's pretty effective. But I agree, Gorgie and the bench, where's the offense going to come from?
Yeah, we can have one of our 3 very good scorers play with the bench guys. So anyways, that's kind of what happened. Also, just this always happens to us, but like Barea went nuts. He was 5 for 5, 15 points in 17 minutes.
I feel like Barea just like... just go away already. Like,
he just kills us.
I know. He killed us like being on our team and then not on our team.
I know. He was terrible.
It doesn't make sense.
Just hates Minnesota. also, our three-point defense was terrible. In the fourth quarter, Dallas felt like they hit a lot of threes. We didn't have a good answer, couldn't really close out. So they were 12 for 29, and that was the difference.
Okay. I'm going to give the team a pass on this. They're not used to playing at 1 o'clock. Let's get back to some normal night games. Brian, that's all I got. I will say we have some national TV games coming up. You know, a couple tough games, but then the schedule gets easy for about a five game stretch. So we should be able to get some wins over the next couple weeks.
Nice.
You got anything else?
No. Good pod. Well, let's look to it again on Saturday.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Keep the emails coming, timberwolvespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast, on Facebook, Two Man Wolfpack. We appreciate you guys, including the international listeners. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.